Just before we begin a ha'ara, which is we spent the last 2 or 3 weeks talking about Rambam's view on Hashgacha. This week we're going to do Ramban, maybe even into next week we'll do another opinion. And you might be wondering why we have to be mefalpel so much. Why can't we just like present the Rambam's view in a couple of minutes and the Ramban's view in a couple of minutes? And why are we going back between 351 and 317 and 318 and 323? So the answer is, as I think you saw from Rambam in the last couple of weeks, and you'll see when we do Ramban this week, that I think our Maha, you know, what we did might be also superficial, but anything even more superficial than what we did, just a quick presentation, would really not capture the complexity and the truth of what Rambam is saying, and today what Ramban is saying. And especially in this sugya, where I think when you read superficial presentations, you'll see that they oftentimes are incomplete. So it's necessary, especially for you guys, smicha students and the like, to really learn the sugya b'iyun. And just like when you learn Gemara in the morning, you try to figure out the mahalich of the Rambam, so you don't just present it superficially, but you look at all the relevant Rambams and you try to figure out how they shtim and how they contradict and the like. So too, if we want to understand, have a emistic understanding of the mahalich, so really we have no choice but to be ma'ayin. And the truth is that whenever we're ma'ayin in something, then hopefully we come up with something, we come out with something through the Amel and Yegia that's really very different than if you just go ahead and present something superficially. So on that note, we're going to begin Ramban today. So for Ramban, you have, again, the big source sheets, and the sheet of the Ramban is on page 27. So the first Ramban here is the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. This Ramban is extraordinarily important, not just with respect to his perspective on Hashgacha, but in terms of the whole purpose of why anything exists and why we exist and the goal of creation and our role in creation. So I think we'll begin with at least more briefly highlighting some of those points. And as we'll see also, that's really necessary to understand his perspective on Hashgach as well. So we'll start on the top of page 28. So the context here is the end of Parshas Bo, where already when the Jews are still in Egypt, Hashem commands a number of mitzvos. And the Ramban says, I'm going to tell you the reason for many of the mitzvos. Hine me'esa yos avodah zarah ba'olam, yimei Enosh, hachelu adeos lishtabish be'emunah. From the times of Enosh and idolatry, so people's perspectives on matters of faith and theology began to be incorrect. Mehem kofrim be'ikr, v'omrim ha'olam kadmon. There are those that are kofer be'ikr by proclaiming the eternity of matter, meaning to say God did not create the world, and for that matter there's no need for God because the universe always existed as it does now. Kachashu b'Hashem v'yomru lohu u'mehem makhishim b'yediyaso ha'pratis v'amar eicha yeda kel v'yesh da'as be'elyon. There were those who denied that God has any knowledge of particulars within the world. God exists, but he's totally unrelated to the world. He doesn't know what's going on in the world. These psukim are very similar to the ones that we saw in the Rambam when he described the various different ancient theories of providence, including the debate within the Book of Eov. Umehem shiyoru yodu biyadiyah umakhishim behashkacha. V'yasu adam kidgei hayam v'shelo yashkiach hakel bahem v'ein imaim onesh oschar. Some have a approach similar to deism. God might exist, he might even know what's going on in the world, but he's not in any way involved in the world. So therefore, no hashkacha whatsoever, no reward, no punishment, at least on this world. Yom ruazav Hashem esar, it's got to ban the land. V'kasher yirtzeh ha'alokim be'eda o b'yachid, v'yaseh iman mofes b'shinoi minhago shel olam v'tiv'o. And thus, when God performs a miracle, yizbarer lakol bitul adeos ha'elakulam, all of these aforementioned positions rebuffed. Ki amofes hanifla morish yesh la'olam Elohim mechadsho. A miracle proves creation. We saw the Rambam make this point as well. In other words, if God can change nature, so that means that he created the world, at least with respect to the Aristotelian perspective. If God, the idea behind it is that God has nothing to do with the world. B'yodea u'mashkiach v'yachol. Moreover, God's miracles show that he knows what's going on. He's mashkiach. He's able to do anything that he wishes. There are no limitations with respect to nature. V'kasher yem ofesahu nigzar tchila mepinavi yizbar mimenu od amitas hanevuah ki yidaber ha'alokim el ha'adam v'yigales odo el avadav hanevim v'tiskayim al zeh ha'torah kula. And moreover, when the prophecy predicts the miracle, so then that proves not only God's existence in his hashgacha, but that he communicates with mankind through prophecy, and accordingly, such a miracle is the basis for all of Torah, or at least the basic principles of faith that are in the Torah. V'lachen yomar kasuv b'mofsim l'man teidak yeni Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. Thus, the pasuk says, when describing the ten plagues and other miracles, that the purpose of these miracles is so that you know that I'm God who is involved in the world. Lahoros al hashkacha kilo azav osa limikrim kidatam, to show that he didn't just forsake the world to nature and to happenstance as they maintain. V'amar leman teidar ki l'Hashem haaretz lo ros al achidush ki hem shelo shibraam me'ayin. V'amar bavur teidaki en kamoni b'chol haaretz lohoros al hayicholas shehu shalit bakol ve'en me'akev biado ki b'chol ze hayu amitzvim akhishim o mistapkim. In all these matters, in hashkacha and yediya and the like, the Egyptians were either in denial or uncertain, and thus the miracles proved God's existence in his hashkacha. Im kein, ha'osos ha'mon ha'dolim edim ne'emanim be'emunas ha'borei uv'torah kula. Yes?
You said the first thing is that miracles prove that God created the world?
Yes.
I don't understand the logic behind that.
I understand. To appreciate that, you really have to understand what he is rejecting, which is the Kadmus Ha'olam of Aristotle, which is that the world, God exists, but the universe, the world as it is, also exists, and they both exist independently, and there can be no interaction. Now, what you're saying is, well, there is the possibility of both being true. The Rambam notes that, according to the Platonic theory of the eternity of the universe, there would be the possibility for miracles and, at the same time, the eternity of matter. And that is not what the Ramban here is referring to. He's referring to Aristotle. He focuses on Aristotle because that was the predominant view at that time.
Platonic conversation wouldn't make the same thing.
Right. It's wrong for other reasons, but strictly speaking, miracles are at least are compatible with the Platonic perspective. Ubavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh osu mofes b'chol dor le'enei kol rasha o kofer. Because God does not strike down with lightning every heretic, yitzav osanu shenaseh tamid zikaron ve'os l'asher ra'u einenu. Therefore God commanded that we constantly remember the miracles that happened insofar as they are the basis of our faith. v'natik hadavar al b'neinu uvneim levneihem uvneihem l'dor acharon, and we will transmit that to our children and them to their children forever and ever. And thus, we have so many mitzvos, as the Ramban is about to explain, that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, remembering Mitzrayim every day. But the Ramban here notes, it's not just the miracles that directly instruct us to recall the Exodus, but many additional mitzvos are meant to remind us of those miracles. And not only that, v'chmir ma'od b'inyan hazeh, k'mo shechiev kares b'achilas chametz u'vazivas ha-pesach. You see the importance of this notion from the fact that the punishment for failure to do these forms of mitzvos, for example, kares for achilas matzah and failure to observe the korban pesach, indicates how important it is. Most isurei achila, like nevela and treifa and chazer, don't have an isur kares like chametz does. Likewise, there are no other positive mitzvos besides bris milah that has a chiv kares for failure to observe them. Why is the Torah so stringent here? It's because of the importance of transmitting this mesorah. V'hitzrich shenichtov kol mashe nira eilenu be'osos umosim al yadenu ve'neinenu tfilin ar zeicher litzias mitzrayim v'lichtov oso od al pischei habatim u'mezuzos. So are mezuzos. Not clear why mezuzos are zeicher litzias mitzrayim. Aaron has a theory. A lot of theories. Not for now. V'shenizkor ze befinu baboker u'ba'erev k'mo she'amar emes v'yatzev de'oraisa mima she'kasov l'mantiz kors yom tizchol meretz mitzrayim kol yamei chayecha v'shenase sukkah b'chol shana v'shana. By that simple act of buying a mezuzah and hanging it on our door, so we have essentially acknowledged our belief in God's existence, His creation, His hashkacha, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the like. V'gam b'nevuah, v'hemin b'chol pinos ha-Torah, milvad, shod ha-shechesed ha-borei gadol, mod al-osi ritzono. Not only that, but we acknowledge God's great kindness to those who do His will. Shotzianu me'oso avdos l'cheirus, v'kava gadol zakos, l'schus avosei hem, ha-chafetzim b'ira shemot, because God redeemed us from Egypt in great kindness due to the merit of our forefathers. Ulufikach amru avizar b'mitzvah kala kechamura shekulon chamuros chavivos me'od shebechol shasha ademod bahen leilo kav. Meaning to say, even minor mitzvos really attest to our belief in God and His creation and His interaction with the world and the like, and thus even what would seem like a minor mitzvah is in fact very, very important. The kavanas kol mitzvot shenamin be'elokeinu v'nodei lav shubra'anu. This is a bigger point. We're going to read it quickly now. Maybe in a couple weeks, if you'd like, we could go back to the point that he's staying here. Why was the world created? But the Ramban writes here that, in fact, the purpose of all mitzvot is so that we could acknowledge and thank God for His having created us. V'hu kavanas ha-yetzira. This, in fact, is the purpose of all of creation. She'en lanu tam acher b'yetzira rishona, for we have no other understanding for the reason of creation except that we were created to acknowledge God. Ve'en kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim milvad she'yeda ha'adam v'yoda le'lokav shebra'o. V'kavanas romimus hakol b'tfilos v'kavanas batei knesios uschus tfilos harabim. The Ramban adds a very interesting thing, which is this would explain why it's important to daven out loud, and especially to raise our voices in Kedusha and Tefillah B'Tzibur. Why? Because when the entire congregation gets together and says, Kadosh, 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 so the entire congregation is publicly declaring their belief and faith in God. And that is why he says it's so important to daven in a shul and Tefillos Rabim. If you think about it, the notion of tefillah b'tzibur is very strange. Tefillah is a personal conversation that we're having with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why would we want to do that publicly? One would think that we would do that quietly by ourselves, so that we're in a better position to contemplate and think about God without distractions. There's no need for other people to be there. But the Ramban answers that the reason is very simple, because tefillah is not just about bakashos and even connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also about our getting together and publicly declaring our faith in His existence. And accordingly, it is necessary to do that publicly. We can't be shy about our belief. We have to publicly demonstrate that we really believe. Zehu sheyia levnei adam makom yiskabtzu v'yodu lekel shebra'am. That's what a shul is. Not just a place for kiddushes. It's a place to gather together and publicly say, we are your creations and you are our God. V'yifars muzev yomu lefaneinu lefanav briosecha anachnu. V'zu kavana sam b'mesha amru v'yikru'u elokim b'chazaka v'kana talamed she'tfila tzach kol chatzifa natzach lebisha. Fascinating ideas. The Ramban, you'll see in footnote 47, notes that this is why Yamim Tovim are called Mikrei Kodesh, because they're a time that Kulam Kruim V'Nesafim L'Kadesh Oso Ki Mitzvah Al Yisrael Hi Kabetz B'Veis HaAlokim B'Yom Moed L'Kadesh Hayom B'Farhesia B'Tfila V'Halel L'Kel B'Ksus Nekia and the like. And that's why we raise our voices in tefillah, because haramas hakol in tefillah allows us to defeat those opinions that say otherwise. And that's why there are so many halachos that stress the importance of the tzibor. One is allowed to even free an eved, do an isser to be mekayim tefillah b'tzibor. If you take a look at the sources in footnote 49, the halachos of why zimun is so important. Because again, when you bench b'zimun, so it transforms birkas hamazon from a personal offering of thanksgiving for the food you received to a public declaration of your faith and belief in God's providence in the world. And that's why we go so far in so many of these halachos. And now we get top of page 29 to the very, very famous lines concerning hashkacha. Umen hanisim agdolos hamefursamim, and from these incredible miracles, the ones that took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim, adamode benisim anistarim shehem yisod ha-Torah kula. A person acknowledges the hidden miracles. We're going to have to define nisim anistarim. The Ramban might have a surprising definition of Nes Nister. For now, we won't define it. But the hidden miracles that take place all the time, that are the basis for all of Torah. She'en la'adam chelek b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu, ad she'namin b'chol divareinu u'mikreinu, she'kulam nisim. For a person, this is very strong language, a person has no chelek in Taras Moshe until he believes that all matters, everything that happens, entirely are nisim. Ein ban teva u'minhago shel olam klal. There is no such thing as teva or minhag ha'olam at all. Bein b'rabin, bein b'yachid. This is not only true with respect to the anhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the klal, but also to the individual. Elim yasa mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo. Thus, if you do mitzvos, then you'll be rewarded. Vim yavor aleihem yachrisenu onsho. And if you violate them, then you will be cut off and punished. Hakol b'gzeres elyon. everything based off of a decree from upon high. So Ramban here seems to be advocating for a very far-reaching perspective on providence. Everything seems to be decreed by God. We shouldn't see overt miracles as the exception. Rather, they are a reflection of the fact that God constantly is involved in running the world. There's an interesting hara, which is, why is this true? How is it that the Nisim HaGdolim HaMefursamim demonstrate that there's no such thing as Teva whatsoever? Maybe one could have argued that there is such a thing as Teva. Generally speaking, people are subject to Teva, except that every so often God intervenes and performs extraordinary miracles. Obviously, miracles prove that God has the yicholes to intervene when he wishes, that nature does not in any way limit God, but how does it show that there's constant intervention? We'll return to that question in a moment. The Ramban then shows that the Torah's promises of prosperity for those who observe the Torah and famine and plague, those who fail to observe the Torah, proves this point. V'yisparsimu hanisim anastarim b'inyan harabim kasher yavo b'yehudei haTorah b'inyan habrachos v'haklolos. The Yehudim of the Torah, let's say, in Parshas B'chukosai, in B'chukosai Teilechu, Ves Mesosai, Tishmeru, Vasisem Osam, so then, V'nasati Gishmechem B'itol, V'nasnat Shilulam, Eitzes Adeitein Piryo, etc., etc. So these highlight that point. Kemo Shamar HaKosov, V'amru Kol HaGoyim Al Me'asa Kachal Aretz HaZos, both with respect to the brachos that Hashem gives, and the klalos. Meaning to say, it's obvious that from a perspective of nature, rain is no more likely to fall on someone who observes mitzvos than someone who does not. There's no natural connection between rainfall and shmiras ha-mitzvos. Al karchecha, these hanhagos demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's far-reaching hashkacha and hanhaga in the world. So these are not the nisim geluyim. Parshas Bechukosai and Kisava, where Hashem promises that there'll be bountiful crops when you follow the will of God, are not like the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a plausible deniability. Somebody could go ahead and say, no, just happens to be. It's a good year. Stock market's up. But in reality, they absolutely show the Hashkachas Hashem. And likewise, the Psukim frequently stress that God's anger towards the Jewish people and punishments when they fail to observe the Torah also demonstrate this Hashkacha. Thus, the nations of the world will say, when we're punished, look, it is God's hand that wrought this. V'amru al asher azvu es bris Hashem, elokei avosam, she is parseim adavar l'chol ha'umos, shehu me'ez Hashem be'on sham. V'amar b'kiyum u'u, kol ame ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra elacha v'yiru mimaka. Now, what's significant is that the Ramban here notes, and he stresses elsewhere, that these hanhagos are towards the nation as a whole. Meaning to say, the descriptions of the brachos and the klalos and Bechukosai and Kisavo don't state that the sinner is struck by lightning, but rather when Klal Yisrael as a whole acts properly, then Klal Yisrael as a whole will receive bounty, and the reverse if they don't. And nevertheless, the Ramban says this too highlights the Hashkacha, and we'll have to see how this is as well. This idea that the Ramban says is explicated even more clearly in the Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, which we'll read now, because it fills in some of the points, I think, that that are stressed. V'nachzor l'inyanenu, so that's again page 29. She'ayinu bo levar, ki anisim, and you'll see here there's almost a total parallel with what he says in Parshas Bo, but there are a number of kenaches that I think are helpful. Ki anisim morim ala chidush v'ala ashkacha v'ala yediya ratzalomar yediyas hapratim, ki yediyas hakodemes l'ashkacha, u'mipnei she'anisim hagdolim ha'mufursamim, ha'mishaskin k'tanei amana, einam nasim b'chol dor, alkein tziva kodesh baruch hu l'aso zeche l'nisim tamid, v'hichmir bahem, ki chayev kareis al kol ma shelo achol pesach, v'kareis al chametz, v'tziva lichov ha'inyin b'mezuzas habatim, u'laniach inyin ha'kasa b'zro'o k'neged ha'lev, v'al roshu k'neged ha'moach, ma'areches ha'neshama, u'lahazkir bo v'chol yom b'peh, v'chulei. V'yadua, ki ha'osim mitzvah b'lo kavana, o mi shelo yizbonin ba, lo asa b'shlemas, aval ha'mizbonin ba, kigon kana mezuzah b'dinar, kava b'pischo, v'niskaven lizbonin bo, ba, u'v'inyana, we noted before that the Rabban says that fulfillment of any mitzvah, let's take the example of putting a mezuzah on our door, is a reflection of our belief in Him. Of course, that is only true if you think about it. If when you're putting up your mezuzah, you think that I am putting up a mezuzah because God exists and is involved in the world and took us out of Egypt, and the like. So then, you have fulfilled the purpose of the mitzvah. Like the Rambam writes, every time a person passes by a mezuzah, they should think about Yichud Hashem, and that should wake them up from the slumber in which they're otherwise engaged, getting caught up in the Havle Olam Hazeh. But the Ramban writes that if you fail to observe mitzvos thoughtfully, you simply performed that mitzvah san Hashem ilumada, you will have not achieved the primary goal of the mitzvah, which is to inculcate within us these proper hashkafos. Kiyatiyas mitzvayim mor al kol eila horash leima milvad sheyeda ki chesed alokim rav meod al ose ritzono shotzianu meosa avdas l'kvod gadol bischus avoseinu hakadmonim hachafetzim liyira oso. Hine b'mitzvah kala hora b'chol sharshei, top of page 30, ha'emuna v'ashlemos v'hine nizbarer ki anisim ha'mefursamim shahayu b'yitzis mitzrayim morim al hachidosh v'al yediya v'al hashgacha v'al kein itztavinu la'asos b'lahem zikaron al havanim b'mezuzos ha'psachim b'yitzio via b'tfilin b'rosh v'zvaro b'kriya shema b'boker v'erev b'sukkah b'pesach v'chein kol kiyoti b'zev v'nimtza mitzvos kulan chamudos me'od v'chavivos shekol sha adem roe oso son moda le'lokav hu kavanas ha'yitzira she'en tamachem yitzira sa'adam v'en lelokim chafetz b'tachtonim rak zeh she'yeda adam v'yoda le'lokav shebra'o k'sh'anu me'aynin yafeh anu roim she'en lo'adam chelak b'taras moshe rabbeinu alav ha'shalom ad sheyamin shekol dvarenu ma'aseinu kulam nisim ein b'am tavo min hago shel olam sheharei yi'ude ator kulam nisim u'movsim gemurim heim. And then the Ramban, we're skipping a little, compares this to the perspective that is widespread but wrong. Ki rov b'nei adam svurim she'ena kelpoel tamid b'nisim Ella olam kimenhago no haik, because most people think that the world is not constantly being run through miracles, but rather olam kimenhago no haik. We saw that phrase in the Rambam. The world just follows its natural course. V'chein, in other words, they don't deny miracles. They acknowledge miracles. Any believing Jew obviously believes in miracles. But they maintain that the miracles are the exception. And generally speaking, olam kimenhago nohag. V'chein svurim rabim min hachachamim ba'alei ha'iyun. Even many of the chachamim ba'alei ha'iyun maintain this view. V'harav, meaning the Rambam, Michlalam, as we saw in previous weeks. So here, the Ramban is rejecting the Rambam's view. Ukshanu me'ainin yotha, anuroin she'en la'adam chelek b'tars Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom atchiyamin she'kol dvareinu ma'aseinu kulam nisim. A person is no chelek in Tars Moshe unless they believe that everything is miraculous. Ein b'hem teva minhago shel olam. Ki im nomar she'ateva hu michalkel ha'kol, who po'el ba'olam, if we were to claim that teva is mechalkel hakol, so then lo meis adam v'lo chaya ba'avor zchus ochova, then it would never be the case that a person would die. Interesting that he says chaya here. We'll get back to that. Because of zchus ochova. Now, the Ramban here is making a jump that at first glance seems very strange. And again, we'll return to this question. On the one hand, he says, everything is miraculous. And anyone who claims that there's such a thing as Tav as no chelik in Taurus Moshe. And then he says, because if you were to say that nature is all-encompassing, then there would be no possibility for a miracle. So again, he seems to be disregarding the middle possibility, that there is such a thing as teva, but teva isn't mechalkel hakol. Now, he addresses this point by noting that the Yehudei HaTorah, things like we mentioned before, the Chukosai, Kisavo, and the like, point to a more all-encompassing form of providence, at least with respect to the Am, because these are indicate a more general hashkacha, not just exceptional miracles. Let's read on. V'achar shenamin ki akel hechris zeh ha'over b'terem bo yomo b'teva. For example, once we believe that God caused a person to die prematurely due to his sins, hinei yad Hashem asesazos v'shana v'shina sateva k'kriyas yamsof lefnei eduso v'tvias oivav b'tocho. Fundamentally, the Ramban stresses that there is no difference at all between kriyas yamsof and someone dying prematurely because they got into a car accident or had a heart attack. Because both of them are examples whereby God is involved in the world to cause Rishayim to die. In the case of Kriyas Yamsuf, it's by splitting the sea and having the water fall upon them. And in the case of the guy dying in a car accident, it's through that involvement. V'inyan v'nasati gishmeichem b'itam yiftach Hashem l'cha so tzaro atov es Hashemayim l'seis mitar tzacha b'ito shove im vayu shamecha asher al roshecha nechoshes yitein Hashem es matar tzacha avak v'afar. Psukim from the Brachos and Klalos kulam nisim omdim mishanim atoldos v'amarechas al yona b'shamayim v'aretz. They both equally go against Teva. Because, as we said before, Teva does not dictate that it rain upon a nation who follows in the will of God, just as Teva does not allow for fiery hail to rain down upon Egypt. In both cases, the laws of nature have been negated, and as such, both forms of Nisim, Nisim Giluyim, and Nisim Nistarim equally demonstrate that God is not bound by nature. In one case, it might be more overt. In one case, it might be possible to deny. But in both cases, there's an equal demonstration of Hashkachas Hashem. Ki im nitzot Hashemesh ein olach behealos ha'ed min ha'aretz. Lo yavo ha'matar betolda afilu yasu kol mitzvos yispalu v'yatzumu ala g'shamim v'im hu ra'ui lahorid matar lo yimna b'shtachavos ha'am l'tzalem ploni. And thus, Ramban continues to note that every time we daven, we essentially express our belief in that notion, because when we petition God for success in our business or the like, essentially we're saying that success in business is dependent upon God. Klalo shel davar ki chol yehudei haTorah shel rabim l'tova o l'ra'a kulam nisim omdim umovsim kayamin v'lachein part osam hakel baTorah. Ktsar shel davar lefi shemei olam lo ispal adam l'kodesh baruch hu sheyiten lo tova o sheyatzilenu me'ra'a v'kila las oivav b'shem ad sheherman benisim kulam kasher amarti. So someone who davens and at least believes what they're saying clearly believes in all the nisim, even someone who curses their friend b'shem ki b'shinu itav ha'olam nasa kol v'lo b'inyan acher zulaso. Okay. And then he again critiques the Rambam al-Kain, Netameh min ha-Rambam, Shuzal migareya ha-Nesim, Umagbir ha-Teva. Rambam always seems to minimize miracles, not that he denies miracles, but he tries to limit their scope. They happen only on rare occasions. And this is extraordinary. It doesn't make any sense, because the Yehudei Torah demonstrate that this is not the case. Because the Yehudei Torah, things like the promises of prosperity for those who observe the Torah, don't make any sense within the system of the Rambam. That's what he's claiming. Maybe if we have time, we could talk about how the Rambam understands those Yehudei Torah, but not for now. V'omer she'em anisim omdim ela l'fisha'a. Right, nisim are just a temporary aberration, according to the Rambam. Ve'elu kula mofsim omdim v'kayamim. Simply untrue, because these nisim are constant. They're omdim. God's interactions with the world. Okay. So, here we again see Ramban's very expansive approach to Hashkacha, and specifically his rejection of the Rambam's view. Ad Kan, there are more passages like this, but for today, the passages in the Ramban that support a very expansive Hashkacha. Now we're going to see a couple of passages in Ramban that imply a much more narrow and limited Hashkacha, one which would seem to resemble the view of the Rambam. So let's turn to the next source. It's from Parshas Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Ches. The context over here is the pasuk that says, Ki Yedativ Hashem knows Avraham Avinu. What does Yedativ mean? God knows him? So the Ramban says that the word Yediyah here reflects love and intimacy, like we see the word Yediyah used elsewhere. And the Ramban writes, page 30, middle of the page, V'anachon be'enai shehi yediya bo mamish. Yirmos yediyas Hashem shehi hashkachaso be'olam ha-shafel hi lishmor ha-klalim. Yediyas Hashem, which is to the Ramban here, refers to the idea of hashkacha klalis, general hashkacha, which we'll talk about a little more later, to preserve the species and the general rules. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general interaction with this world is just to preserve the species. V'gam b'nei adam unachim bo l'mikrim ad eis pikudasam. And people are left to mikra. So it's not just with respect to animals, for example, that there's a hashkacha klalis lishmar klalim, but even with respect to individuals, they are sometimes left with mikra, left to mikra, munachim bo lemikrim, they are left to mikra, ad bo es pekudasam. That's a hard line to translate. Could mean until their death. It could mean until the time that God sees fit to intervene, to reward, punish them. Aval bechasidav, that's with respect to regular people, that are they are sometimes munach lemikra. But with respect to God's chasidim, so then yasum elav libo ladas oso bifrat. God pays attention to know them in particular. Lioshmiraso davka bo tamid, in order to have absolute constant shmira. Lo tipared hayediyav azchira mimenu klal. God's knowledge and remembrance of them never departs. Kedam lo yigarem et tzadik einav. Now the Ramban quotes a number of psukim that indicate this different form, the different form of hashkacha, the distinction between tzadikim and others. The pasuk says about tzadikim, his eyes do not depart from them, a pasuk in Iov. Likewise, hinei Hashem el yireav, God's eyes are upon those who fear him, and the like. The Rabbeinu Bachya on this pasuk, you could see it in footnote 56 on page 30, highlights that, sort of takes apart the Ramban, and he shows basically that there are, the way the Ran here, what he means to say is that there's two forms of hashkacha. There's hashkacha klalis, which relates to the species, and that's relevant to animals, but not, as opposed to hashkacha pratis, which doesn't apply to animals, as the Ramban explained, as well as hashkacha pratis, which is to humans. And even within hashkacha pratis, there are these two forms. There's the way the Rabbeinu Bachya puts it is, we could call it a 2A, hashkacha bo leida kol partei ma'asav l'machshavosav, sheshayach b'chol adam mi'yisrael, o mina umos. There's knowledge of particulars, and a form of hashkacha that relates to that, which is shayach to every person, Jew and non-Jew, but only people. We'll talk about why people are different in just a moment. Vashkacha bo, and then to be, vashkacha bo lahagen alavu latzil min amikrim, a type of protection by which God protects chasidim from all forms of mikra, all forms of nature. And that's something that's not shayach to all people, even all Jews, but rather to chasidim. So what the Ramban here writes is that when the pasuk says ki yedatif to Avram Avinu, so the pasuk is telling Avram Avinu that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am mashgiach upon you and upon tzaddikim in general in a way such that you're not subject to mikra. Now the implication is that regular people are indeed subject to mikra, that the tzaddik, the chassid, is the exception. This is seemingly a glaring contradiction to what he said in Bo, Taras Hashem Tamima, that someone who believes in mikra ain lo chelek b'taras Moshe. Obviously, it's not a contradiction. First of all, the Ramban never contradicts himself. You have to work hard sometimes to figure out what he means. But we'll see that he says each of these two sentiments in multiple places, four or five places where he mentions each of these yesodos, and he says it each time with tremendous stridency. So the Ramban clearly didn't see these two ideas as in any way incompatible. The question is, how are we going to explain that? Let's see one more place where the Ramban fleshes out this perspective. This is from his commentary in Iov, on this very pasuk that he referred to in Bereishis, Lo Yigare Mitzadikinav, which is in your source sheets, but in page 31. Ze hakasuv mefaresh inyan gadol binyan hashkacha uvobo psukim rabim. This idea, this pasuk is teaching us a very important principle in hashkacha, and there are many psukim that highlight this point. Ki anshei ha-Torah v'emunat mima yaminu v'hashkacha, ki akel yashkiach v'yishmor al anshei min ha-adam. All believers believe that God is mashkiach on people. Kemosh kasuv gadol ha-itzav v'rav ha-alila asher einecha pikuchos al kol darchei bnei adam laseis le'ish kidrachav u'kepri ma'alalav. Ve'amar David, kol levavos doresh Hashem v'chol yetzer machshivos mevin. V'lo ba'atorah o b'nevuah shiyeh akel mashkiach v'shomer ishei shar habrios she'enan medabros. Rak shomer al haklalim bechlal. Whereas when it comes to other creatures, here the Ramban is citing the idea that we saw in the Rambam, that there's a difference between animals and people. When it comes to animals, God is mashkiach on the klalim. So what does that mean? Rak shomela klalim lala shemayim tzva'am v'lachin hutra shchita l'tzarech adam. Again, more or less quoting the Ramban. This next Rambam, this whole next paragraph is going to be a summary of Rambam, more or less. Rambam in 317. We'll talk about the differences, but the basic mahalach here, he's going to just quote Rambam's view on hashgacha. Right? So like we saw in the Rambam, the reason why it's mutter to shecht animals is because there's no hashgacha pratis for animals. V'gam l'chaper al nafshosenu b'davam al hazbeach v'atam hazeh yadua barer. The reason for this is obvious. Ki adam mipnei shu makires elokav yashgiach alav yishmor. Also, because a human being is capable of knowing God, recognizing God, mimela, naturally, he's shayach to hashkacha. V'lo kein shar brios she'enan yodos barom ma she'en kein. Other creations don't recognize God, and as such, are not subject to hashkacha. It's very interesting. If you look, almost all the Rishonim reject the idea of hashkacha for animals. If you look at some of the Chassidish Svarim, you'll see that even animals are subject to hashkacha. At first glance, it's a major machlokus, and it is, but it's not as glaring as it might seem at first, because l'chora everybody agrees that the hashgacha that's shayach to animals is not for the sake of the animals, but it's for the sake of humans. Meaning to say, if my cow Betsy gets sick, so that's not for Betsy's sake, but it's for me. I'm deserving of some type of onesh, and thus my cow gets a stomach ache, which causes me all sorts of problems. But anyway, more on that a little later. Umina tamaze yishmor al tzadikim, and thus, because of this reason, God has this higher level of shmira for tzadikim. Meaning to say, there's a continuum. Animals that can't recognize God are not subject to hashgacha pratis at all. Humans that can are subject to hashgacha pratis. Tzadikim are subject to a much greater degree of hashgacha pratis. There's no such thing as teva or mikra with respect to tzadikim, because, as we'll see, it's not just that they recognize God's existence, but there's this constant connection to God. Ki k'cher libam v'enehem tamid imo. Here he's alluding to the idea that we saw in Rambam 351, because their hearts and eyes are constantly towards him. Kein einei Hashem aleihem mereishis hashanah v'adrach reshanah. So too, mida k'negen mida, Hashem is constantly looking over them, just as they are constantly looking towards God. Ad ki achasid agal mor davik be'lokav tamid v'lo yipareid, to the point that a chassid gamur, who's constantly mizdabek to Hashem, who's never may see achdas from Hashem, like the chassid described in 351 in the Mor Nevuchim, hadavek b'machshavto bo the inyan minyanei olam. He's thinking of God even when involved in the mundane, worldly matters. Yeah, nishmar tamid mikol mikrei hazman. He, and he alone, will be constantly protected from all mikrei hazman, because he is constantly connected to the Ribono shel Olam. Afilu hahavim b'teva. Even the things that normally happen b'teva. Meaning to say, everybody else, except the Chazed Gamor, is in fact, at least on occasion, subject to teva. Teva. The word that the Ramban said before, that anyone who believes in is no chelek in Taurus Moshe. V'yishtamer mehen b'neis yaselo tamid. The chassid is constantly being protected by constant miracles. Ki'ilu yechashev mikasa el yonim. As though he is among the elevated beings, meaning to say angels. What the Ramban here is saying is a very important yesod, which is that human beings, like we saw in the Rambam in 3:13, human beings are subject to nature because of their materiality. Thus, the Rambam wrote that the first class of evil is simply a result of our being material beings, and thus subject to degradation, pain, suffering, and the like. The Ramban here is writing that someone who can elevate themselves above their materiality will accordingly be less subject to those natural laws, because they are not material beings. They've elevated themselves above their materiality, such that the Chassid Gamor, who's constantly being mizdabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is almost like a malach. So there's a continuum, like we said before. A animal is basically an entirely physical being. Accordingly, an animal is entirely subject to the physical laws of nature. A human being who entirely elevates themselves above their materiality, such that they're constantly being mizdabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is totally not subject to the laws of nature. Most people are somewhere in between. And this is an idea, a theme that you see many places in the Ramban. For example, the Ramban writes that someone who thinks only of God, even while in the physical world, and pays no attention to physical existence, can live eternally with their body intact. Meaning to say, this is the Ramban, take a look in Vayikra Yudches Pasuk Dalet. He talks there about how Chai Ha'adim B'mitzvos Kefi Achanaso Lahem, and he classifies four categories of Lashma in terms of mitzvah observance. And he writes, Va'ozvim Kol Inyanei Ha'olam Hazeh Ve'enam Mashkichim Alav Ki'ilu Enam Ba'alei Agof. If you live a life where you've totally transcended your material being, V'kol Machshavtam V'kavanasam B'bo'am Bilvad, and like he said over here, their entire machshava is in God entirely. K'inyan be'Eliyahu, like for example Eliyahu Anavi, bidabek nafsham b'shem anichbad, yichyu la'ad begufam uvenafsham. They will live forever in their body and soul. K'nira be'kasov be'Eliyahu, like the pasuk says about Eliyahu, how he went to heaven alive without his soul having to separate from his body. The kayadua mimenu b'kabbalah ukumo sheba b'midrashim b'chanoch uvivnei ha'olam haba ha'omdim b'tchias ha'nesim. Here he says a very important yesod. The need for the soul and the body to separate from each other upon death is because for most people there is a clash between their body and soul. And it's only when that clash is rectified, which is through Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, that they could once again be restored and live eternally, body and soul combined. But until that point, there has to be a separation between body and soul, And that's what happens with death. The body and the soul separate. The body disintegrates. The soul also has to undergo a tikkun because it's been tainted through its interactions with the body. That's the idea of Gehenim. And the Olam HaNeshamos in general, which is Gehenim, Gan Eden, and the like, which is, serves as a stage to prepare the individual for the Olam HaNitzchi, when the body and soul can once again be reconnected, but in a way that there's no stira between the guf and the neshama. So the Ramban is saying that lu yitzur, you have a person who in this world can reach such a level, such that there is no stira between the guf and the neshama, because they've totally transcended their materiality. So the Ramban says, such a person, first and foremost, will not be subject to teva at all, because our subjugation to teva is a direct result of our materiality, and if we can transcend that, we're not subject to teva. And also, if a person totally reaches that madrega, like Eliyahu, then there's no need for their guf and their neshama to separate, even upon death. It's interesting that even though the Avos, the Rambam writes in 351, reached that madrega, but the Ramban understands they only reached the third out of the fourth madrega. Eliyahu reached the fourth madrega. Why? By, you know, Elo, you know, Avos. The Yesod is, though, not for now, that for the Avos and other great tzaddikim to accomplish their goal in the world, there had to have more interaction with the world, which necessarily meant that they couldn't absolutely transcend their materiality, which meant that they had to die in a normal sense. And Eliyahu, and this is why ultimately he wasn't fit to be a prophet, and had to be replaced, totally transcended that materiality, which allowed him to go to the next olam without the guf having to separate. Anyway, there are a number of yesodos here that really have to be stressed, but we're out of time. We're gonna go back to this next time, but let's note the following. First of all, over here we see the Ramban very much accepting Rambam's Mahalich on Hashgacha. He accepts the distinction between people and animals. He accepts the distinction between tzaddikim and beinonim. He offers a at least quasi-naturalistic explanation for the reason why tzaddikim are subject to this higher level hashgacha, because they've transcended their physical nature and as such are not subject to the physicality. We've explained, and as such, we really left with what seems to be an incredible stira in the Ramban. On the one hand, we saw in Drashas Taras Hashem Tamima, he absolutely rejected Rambam, and he said anyone who believes in Taras Moshe has no chelak. Sorry, anyone who believes in teva has no chelak in Taras Moshe. At the same time, he clearly endorses teva to some degree, and we'll see throughout Ramban's commentary he distinguishes between the hashkacha of Klal Yisrael versus Umos Haolam, between tzaddikim and beinonim, between hashkacha and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, all of which seem to presume that there is such a thing as teva, and that regular people are to some degree subject to teva. So how are these two mahalchim at all compatible? So Be'ezras Hashem next week we'll try to offer at least some forms of resolution. You should work on this. Yeah, read these Rambans. There's more Rambans in your source sheets. What? We talked about last week, the extent to which there might even be, is there really a nafkamina in terms of the way we live our life? Maybe not. Yeah.
When the Rambam says you don't have a feeling in Taras Moshe, forgetting the stira with the Rambam, does he mean it like literal, or he's really casting the Rambam into that category? Or
no,
it like,
because
it means that that's,
if you read it carefully, we'll get back to it tomorrow. You have no chelak in Taras Moshe if you entirely if you think that teva is.
It really sounds like
totally overarching. To the,
but to the
if